your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everyone, happy Monday. You're listening to Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. My name is Sarah Affampato. I am your host. You can also hear me, on Wednesdays on this show, Locked On NHL. You can also hear me on Locked On Los Angeles Kings, chronicling the underwhelming season that the Kings have been having this year. But today, I am bringing you news about three teams that are headed to the postseason or are fighting for their spot. First up, we're going to talk with Chris Maselli of Locked On Avalanche all about his team as they do their best to see if they can unseat the Vegas Golden Knights from the top spot in their division. Then we've got Kenneth Nash of Locked On Stars taking a look at the play of one Jason Robertson, as well as trying to see if the Stars will be able to pull it off and jump over Nashville for that final spot in the Central. If that wasn't enough, we've got Laura Saba from Locked On Canadiens here to tell us all about their new fun first-year player, Cole Caulfield, who has gone pro after finishing his college career, and now he is having a blast with Montreal. So let's get right to it. Let's hear right now all about the Colorado Avalanche. So the battle in the West for the top spot is still going on. The Vegas Golden Knights are starting to edge away from the rest of the pack, but you can never count out the Colorado Avalanche. And so we're going to talk with Chris Maselli from Locked On Avalanche, and of course, one of our lovely Locked On NHL hosts later on in the week. And we're going to talk right now about what is going on with the Avalanche. And I will start with probably the biggest news really to come out of Colorado, and that is that yet again, and I feel like this has been the story kind of every time we've talked, that more key players are injured. And I believe your last game you lost, what, two defensemen in the game? What's the injury picture like for you guys right now?
It's basically death, taxes, and Colorado Avalanche injuries is pretty much how it goes for us. The most recent ones were, just in the last game, but before that, all COVID related. So the first time the Avalanche had their season paused, it was really out of their control. They went up against a Minnesota team that had just their locker room was flooded with COVID. So it kind of spilled over into the Avalanche. This time it was on the Avalanche. I don't know how it all broke out, but, their own players were the ones that kind of like spread it amongst themselves. So it really wasn't injuries on the ice. And then, you know, we finally got guys back. Mikko Rantanen came back. Jonas Donskoi came back. And Philip Grubauer came back. Huge, huge pieces to this team. And then in the second game back, it was a back-to-back against the Sharks. Sam Girard goes down and Ryan Graves goes down. So we're back to the injuries again is basically where we're at. So and Brandon Saad also went down, not in this last game. He went out game last week, and that was a mystery one. I don't know what happened to him. He didn't leave a game. It was just the game was over, and then the next day we heard he was going to be out for maybe 2 to 4 weeks. So it just doesn't end. And you know, being an Avalanche fan, it's just par for the course. You deal with injuries, and they're deep. They have a good talent pool to pick from, and guys have really stepped up.
That's been the most remarkable thing as someone who, you know, just follows the Avalanche from afar to do things like this show, is that at any given time, I can look at the roster and I can look at the list of injuries and be like, those are guys who, if they were out on any other team, would have decimated this team. And you would have been like, well, we're just going to be bad until he comes back. And the Avalanche have just found a way. I think it speaks a lot to their depth as a team to just keep on chugging no matter who is in or out of the lineup. And it's pretty remarkable. Makes me a little jealous, honestly. Yeah.
It's, you know, for a regular season, they can compete and they can more than hold their heads above water, as they showed last year. Rantanen lost a lot of time last year. He only played, I think, half of a season. And that's a big piece. But, you know, when you have a, you know, a Nathan MacKinnon on your team, he makes up for, you know, like three guys that could be gone. He's just that good. But yeah, they have a lot of young players. They have a lot of good players. So I think going through what they went through last year and when it started happening again this year, they had the mindset of like, so what? We've done this before. Now, the playoffs is a different animal. You can get through a regular season having good depth, but when you're going up against the best of the best every single game, that's a lot to ask your quote-unquote depth players to, you know, help you go in a Stanley Cup. So yeah, you have to be healthy. And when the guys that you're missing are Mikko Rantanen and Philip Grubauer, who has really turned a corner this year, you can't really just expect the guys that are filling in those spots to go win you a Stanley Cup. That's a lot to ask. You can ask them to get you through a season and be competitive, but it's a whole nother animal once you get to the playoffs.
And I know last year, one of the things that spelled the end for the Avalanche in the playoffs was injuries in net. And this year you guys went out and got Devan Dubnyk at the trade deadline to kind of cross your fingers and hope that he doesn't have to play in the playoffs. And, you know, I remember when they traded for him and I was like, you know, if Devan Dubnyk has to play a game for the Avalanche, like something has gone really wrong. And then Grubauer immediately went and got hurt and Dubnyk has had to start shouldering some of the weight for this team. So how has he been doing since he has been liberated from the Sharks and now thrust onto this team?
The way he is now is what you're going to get. He's not miraculously playing like a different style just because he's on Colorado. But I think, you know, he's on a team where, and he just did it on Saturday. Their second, they did a back-to-back against San Jose. And he gave up three goals, but the Avalanche scored four. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, he's on a team that can score. So you would like him to be perfect, but he's not going to be. He's never really been that type of goalie. I think if the Avalanche, you know, they will utilize him in the playoffs if they're up 3-0 or, you know what I mean? Or maybe even 2-0. Clearly they're not going to be relying on him. They might need him to spell Grubauer if the need arises or the circumstance arises. But Grubauer, up until they got Dubnyk and Johansson from Buffalo, he was the guy. So and this past couple weeks, he's been really given some time off because he was hit with the COVID thing anyway. So you knew he wasn't going to play. But now he's back. And yeah, could he just go through the whole playoffs, him and nobody else? Yeah, because he's technically done it for the first three quarters of the season. So he's a powerhouse and he's ready to go. So it'd be interesting to see. I think they'll spell him every once in a while. But if they're down in a series, no way. You can forget.
Well, we will close with a quick look at the standings. As things are right now in the West, Vegas is in the number one spot. Colorado is number two. Vegas with 74 points. Colorado with 70 in the last handful of games. And I know that you guys play my Kings a bunch of times in the last, so that's what, four games. So you can pretty much count on pretty much most of those points to help push you up the standings. do you think that you're going to close that gap against Vegas? Is it going to be sort of down to the wire for who takes the number one spot in the division?
I just covered this on my show that I just recorded before we recorded this one. This is going to be an interesting week. The Avalanche have four games and Vegas has four games. The Avalanche are going two against San Jose, two against your Kings. Vegas is going two against Minnesota, two against St. Louis. So they have Vegas has a much more difficult week than the Avalanche do. And then after those four games, the next game is the head to head. So, and then they each have one more game after that. So this week will be very telling. Yeah, the Avalanche have an easier schedule than Vegas does. So can they catch them? Yeah, and they still have a game in hand, I think, on Vegas. I believe they do. It's going to be a battle. I think the Avalanche aren't out of this yet as far as the number one spot. And we'll see what happens because I think Vegas is going to be – they're going to have to be on their game for these four games. And I do. I think the Avalanche can catch them. And I think – I just hope they do. Because I love when games like that, like, you know, next Monday when they play each other, I love when games like that have so much riding on it, so much meaning. It's a regular season game, but it's basically going to be like a playoff atmosphere. So I can't wait for that. And the Avalanche just called up one of their top prospects in Alex Newhook, who just finished his college season, and they signed him to an ELC right away. He's been down in the AHL for like 2 weeks and has just been tearing it up. So they brought him up. He's on the taxi squad for a week. You might even see him in a game or two before the playoffs start. So all of these guys that the Avalanche have been stockpiling, they're slowly starting to make their way up.
I think it's going to be a fun time for anyone who likes good hockey. And yeah, I can't wait for that, the head-to-head game, especially when it's in like the last, you know, the last games of the season, and those games mean something. That's going to be real fun to watch. And I, since I don't have much left to root for in my team's final games of the season, I'll be excited to go watch some hockey between two real powerhouses in this division. So for people who want to learn more about the Avalanche, who want to keep up to date with what is going on as they fight for that number one spot in the division, where can they find you and your show?
Yeah, Locked On Avalanche, right in this wonderful Locked On podcast network that we have. You can follow that. Follow me on LOPN_Avalanche on Twitter, Locked On Avalanche on Instagram. And like you said, I host the Thursday edition of Locked On NHL with Adam Denker from the Locked On Lightning show.
All right. Well, everyone go check that out, and good luck to the Avalanche as they close their season.
Thank you.
Thank you to Chris for joining the show. We're going to talk with Kenneth Nash coming up right after this. But right now, I want to talk to you about something that is maybe a little complicated for you. It's definitely complicated for me, and that is investing. I had to sit through a whole presentation on my retirement plan at my new job, and got to listen to all the things that they want to tell you about smart financial planning and planning for the future and all that stuff. And it's a lot. It's a lot to learn, even if you have kind of been exposed to it before. So investing is tough, but whether you are a beginner or if you've been doing investing for years, Wealthfront is a program to make it easy for you. They have the right tools for every portfolio. So whether you're just getting started or you are a seasoned vet, you will find what you need with Wealthfront. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. So there's nothing manual. You don't have to pick stocks. You don't have to watch the app every second of every day. Wealthfront automatically handles all the investing based on preferences that you control. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. All you need is $500 to get started. So to get your first $5,000 managed free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. That's Wealthfront, WealthFront.com/lockedonNHL to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL and get started today. One of the teams that is hanging on in there in the playoff race, looking to lock up a playoff spot, is the Dallas Stars, fighting their way through the Central Division this season. And so on today's show, I've got host of Locked On Stars, Kenneth Nash, here to let me know what is going on with the Stars. Now, Kenneth, I know at the beginning of the season, Dallas had a ton of issues between COVID and between all the postponements because of the severe weather issues that were happening in Texas, and a lot of people just kind of wrote the Stars off and were just like, you know, this season, it is what it is, come back next year. And here we are in kind of the closing weeks of the season, and the Stars are still in the hunt for that playoff spot. They're just a little bit behind Nashville for that last seed in their division. Is this kind of what you expected, given the rough start, given how rocky things were at the first, or are you surprised to see them still fighting to get into the playoffs?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. It's this year's been so weird for the Stars. Just obviously, like you said, the COVID start, and then the delayed start to the COVID, and the severe weather where they missed basically an entire week, right smack dab in the middle of the season. And so, you know, and they've kind of they played poorly in February and March, you know, to compound all of that. So, you know, kind of looking, you know, over the past through all of that, I think there was always this kind of inkling of they have the ability to turn it around. It's pretty much the same roster that was that was there for the Stanley Cup final. They lost the only contributor they lost from last year was Matthias Janmark, who of course went to the Chicago Blackhawks and was traded to the Vegas Golden Knights. But you know, besides that, I mean, it's the same team. The talent level's the same. Now there's some obviously some big injuries. You know, Tyler Seguin hasn't played yet this year. Ben Bishop essentially will miss the entire year. He didn't play at all this season. So there was always the injuries. But even then, there was always this kind of thing of Dallas still is talented enough to get there. But there was never a turning point. Now sitting where they are right now, I'd be hard pressed to be surprised, because I think there was always kind of this thought process of they're still talented even with the injuries and the condensed schedule. They're still a good enough team to get in the top four in the Central Division. I would say, you know, is it surprising that they've rebounded in such a short amount of time? Yes, because they did it pretty much in April. Is it surprising they rebounded overall? Not so much. I think we all expected it. It just took a lot longer to get going than I think most of us anticipated.
We are, of course, down to the last handful of games. You have two coming up against Tampa, two against Chicago, and then one against Florida on Monday night. What is your outlook for the rest of these games, and what's sort of the picture for what the Stars need to do to leapfrog Nashville and get back in that last spot?
Yeah, it's going to be tough, and if you were, you know, if you were saying I had to pick one, yes or no, they'll make the playoffs, I would tell you no. Their percentages dropped, probability percentages dropped drastically after they lost in overtime last night to Nashville. You know, it's a tough road. You know, Nashville's got four games left, two against Columbus, two against Carolina. Dallas, of course, like you just said, five games left. You know, I don't think it's an optimistic run in for the Stars. I think last night was kind of maybe not the final nail in the coffin, but it was definitely a dagger for sure. You know, they're going to need help, and I think that's the big takeaway now is up until last night, if they'd won last night, they controlled their own destiny. They didn't need anybody to do them any favors in beating Nashville. They need that now. They're 3 points back. They only have the one game in hand. So they're going to need help. It's not, you know, not optimistic. If there's a bright spot is that we may see Tyler Seguin make his season debut here next week, or this coming week, and that'll be a big boost. And we've seen some guys come back in the lineup, and they've played better. But I would say, you know, optimism, I think, is pretty low just because, I mean, 3 points in five games is a nearly insurmountable hill. They don't have the tiebreaker over Nashville either, so they have to beat them on points. So, I mean, you know, even if Nashville goes 500, you know, they win two and lose two in regulation and only pick up four more points, Dallas would have to go essentially 4-1 in their final five games to get into a playoff spot. So they're going to need a lot of help, and they're going to have to play really good hockey. And I'm not sure that they're going to be able to get that here in the final week and a half, which is disappointing because their month of April up until the last couple of games was really, really good and really, really encouraging.
You do have a couple of players who have been causing a lot of conversation, and one is Jason Robertson, who has had a really fantastic stretch of play that has really catapulted him up into the conversation for the Calder. You know, whether or not he wins it or not, you know, Kirill Kaprizov is a huge factor in that, but he has gone from a guy who I think not too many people knew of into someone who I feel like a lot of people in the league are talking about. Is his emergence this year probably one of the better stories in terms of young players on the Stars? And did you expect him to kind of take off like this?
Yeah, I would probably highlight that as maybe the number one positive. You know, regardless of if they make the playoffs or not, I think, you know, his emergence, you look at the Stars in terms of young talent, specifically talent that we hadn't already seen in the NHL. So, you know, not talking about Denis Kurianov and Roope Hintz and Miro Heiskanen, you know, there wasn't a ton, frankly. You know, you had Jake Ottinger, the goaltender, who's obviously been very, very good this year. He's been a bright spot. Then you had Ty Dellandrea, who was considered by many, myself included, to be their top forward prospect, and then Thomas Harley, the defenseman. And then beyond that, it was kind of those three were in a tier of their own. And then Jason Robertson was the top of that second tier of prospect, and he's come in, and I don't think anybody expected this. You know, the knock on him was never his, you know, skating his hockey IQ, his scoring ability, his creativity. It was always, does he have the ability to keep up with the NHL game and skate at the NHL level? And for him to break out like he has, he's catapulted himself. I think he's the single, the top prospect the Dallas Stars have now. I think he's surpassed those other three, and he's gone from I think he's gone from, hey, this guy could be a really good depth scoring forward, to, hey, this is somebody that the Dallas Stars need to build around moving forward. And if you've watched much of his games, you know, we see rookies at times benefit because of who they play alongside. They're with, you know, really good, talented players, and they kind of just have to be in the right spot at the right time. If you watch him play, his ability to read the game and anticipate is far, far better than most 21-year-olds in this league. He's, you know, it's not just he benefits from playing alongside the guys like Joe Pavelski and Roope Hintz. If you look at the numbers, they benefit from having him next to him. The Dallas Stars are a much, much better team when he's off the ice rather than when he's on when he's on the ice rather than when he's off the ice. So, you know, all the signs point that the Dallas Stars have a cornerstone player in Jason Robertson. I didn't expect it. I don't think many people did. I think expectations were, hey, he's a talent. He's got the ability to score and create, you know, maybe a great, you know, fourth line forward, depth forward kind of guy for the future, and can be an important depth piece. And now looking ahead, you're going, okay, how do you build around him and Roope Hintz, you know, those two guys, how do you build your top six forwards around those guys for years to come?
Well, you mentioned one other player who I want to kind of close with getting your thoughts on, and that is Jake Ottinger, who has really been holding things down in net, especially with Ben Bishop being out the whole season. Between him and Khudobin, they've really been kind of splitting the work. It hasn't been a true starter situation for either of them. But is Jake, do you think, kind of the goaltender of the future for the Stars, or is he, you know, just sort of one other piece in net for the Stars going forward in the future?
Yeah, he's absolutely the starter of the future. I think any doubts or any questions about that has been more or less erased this year. He stepped up in an important stretch for Dallas early in the season when Anton Khudobin, you know, really struggled early on. You know, he stepped in, and there was a stretch where he started, I believe, four or five games in a row, which for a 21-year-old rookie is just not very common, especially when they've got a guy who just took him to the Stanley Cup playoffs available, and or through the Stanley Cup playoffs into the final, and Anton Khudobin available. I think he is, and I think, you know, if there's an interesting storyline that's emerged from this year, it's that the Dallas Stars are going to have a goalie decision to make this summer, because both Ben Bishop and Anton Khudobin are under contract for two more years after this year. And that you can't not have Jake Ottinger be one of your two goaltenders next year. He's too good. There's not anything really left for him to do in the AHL or anything like that. So they're going to have to make a decision. You know, all signs point there's probably going to be Anton Khudobin in some form or fashion that departs. But I think their timeline has been expedited. I don't think this was a decision maybe they were expecting to make this summer, but he's propelled it because he's been so good. And for 2 years, you're going to look at probably Ben Bishop and Jake Ottinger splitting the work somewhere in the 60-40, 65-35 neighborhood in favor of Bishop. And then I don't think the Stars have any questions, any issues handing the reins to Ottinger past that point and letting him be their guy for hopefully a long, long time.
There's definitely a bright future ahead for the Stars, regardless of how this season ends up working out in the end. Thank you for jumping on the show today and giving us the highlights of what is going on with the Dallas Stars as we look to close out this NHL season. For people who want to hear more from you, who want to keep up with the latest news on the Stars, where can they find you and your show?
Yeah, well, you can find the show's Twitter at Locked On Stars. Post episode links there, post any updates and just thoughts throughout the day. You could follow my personal account as well at Kenneth_Nash19. That's where I do more of like the news stuff, relaying kind of the daily news from the Dallas Stars. But you can find us there, Locked On Stars, wherever you download and listen to your podcast. Come in, check it out, hear the latest on the Dallas Stars.
Thanks to Kenneth for chatting about the Stars. We've got Laura Saba coming up next from Locked On Canadiens. But first, let's talk Built Bar. Do you know what I had for my breakfast this morning? It was a Built Bar. It was one of the salted caramel Built Bars. I have a whole little box of them that I just kind of keep sitting out, and I just reach in and I grab a random one. So it's like a surprise every day, which is one of the great things about Built Bar, because there are so many different flavors and they are all basically super delicious. They're covered in 100% chocolate and it tastes like you're eating a candy bar, except this candy bar also happens to be full of protein. If you are looking for a quick snack to build up your energy, to get you started for your day, to get you started on your week, go and check out Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. We've also got BetOnline.ag, which is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. No matter what sport it is that you're into, you can track all of the action at BetOnline.ag. So whether it's baseball, basketball, football, horse racing, MMA, or, you know, the NHL, you can find all of that online at betonline.ag. So head over to BetOnline on your laptop or your mobile device. Check out all of the great sporting news. Learn about sign-up bonuses and contest information. This is your chance to get involved as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs, and you can start making some wagers. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON for 50% in welcome bonuses. So BetOnline, it is your online sportsbook experts. This is, of course, the time of year where we start to see some young up-and-coming players join the lineups of their teams. So regardless of if you're in the playoff hunt or if you're just, you know, playing until the end of the season, chances are you're getting to see some young, fun talent. And the Montreal Canadiens are no exception as they have welcomed Cole Caulfield into their lineup. And he had a pretty big game in his last game. So we're going to talk about how he is fitting in with the Canadiens with Laura Saba, one half of Locked On Canadiens. So first off, is Cole Caulfield the happiest person alive? I have never seen him not smiling.
He's so cute. So there was this, you know how teams sometimes like to put on social media montages of the players in suits arriving at the arena for the game. Mm-hmm. And they had this one where it was like Cole Caulfield in his, like, you know, all black ensemble. And he's walking and the camera's like zoomed in on him. And you can tell he's trying to be cool. And then he gets close to the social media person and he just bursts into this giant smile under his mask. You can see his eyes light up. He can't. He's trying to be cool and he can't because he's just that happy, smiley, delightful little kid.
And I'm sure it is, of course, exciting that he is living out his dream, making the NHL and doing it at a pretty exciting time of the year as the Canadiens look to solidify their playoff spot in the standings. And so he has gotten a couple of NHL games under his belt already. How is he doing? How is the transition to pro hockey going for him?
So he's actually... He got, well, the Canadiens got lucky because they called him, they signed him, and he was assigned to Laval, and he reported to Laval, played two games there, had a phenomenal debut against the Marlies, you know, a rival team, and then he got called up to the taxi squad, but it was mostly a paper thing, and then they decided that, you know, to give him the experience of being on an NHL team on a road trip, they took him out west, but the Canadiens weren't able to play him because they messed up their cap situation. And so they weren't able to use a call-up until they got an injury that turned out to be a little bit fortuitous. So both Thomas Tatar and Paul Byron were injured. And due to that, they were able to call up Jake Evans and Cole Caulfield on an emergency basis. And so even though he played well, he didn't score until his fourth game. But I'm just going to rattle off some statistics, and I didn't do this work. Marc Dumont of the Montreal Canadiens website did this work, so I have to credit him. And so through his first three games at even strength, he had a 70.5% shot share. He had an 84.2% expected goals for, an 88.9 high danger chance share. Seven shots and five individual high danger shots. And that was in his first three games. And five high danger shots by himself is just, it's absolutely phenomenal. And in the last game before he actually scored, so this is like, you know, he's played two games at this point. The third game happens, he still doesn't have a point. The fan base starts getting a little bit restless because, you know, we're so rational here in Montreal, as you're probably used to if you're a fan from anywhere else. And this one was, this is maybe it's Ian from Rabbit Habs who pulled up this stat. He had the Habs' second highest expected goals for in one night. Second highest in one game, and he played only around 10 minutes. So just imagine that to have the second highest expected, like Corsi, essentially, the second highest Corsis on the team, if you play only 10 minutes. Like, that's a phenomenal, phenomenal number. And so I want to put that into perspective for those of you who don't like analytics, is just that he had just so many chances that he created for himself, and a lot of them were individual. Like, he did not need any assistance on that. And the one thing, when you're watching those games, if you're like, if you saw him, you would see him dart around the ice. And it's something that a guy like Claude Julien would probably hate. I feel like any coach maybe doesn't really like it when a player gets too creative, but he was going to all the areas that he needed to. He was just playing so well. It's like he knew exactly where to go. He was able to get around physical, larger players, and eventually it did pay off. So in the fourth game that he played, it was against the Ottawa Senators. The team was on a second night of a back-to-back, and they were struggling a little bit. And in the last period, the coach shortened his bench, as they do. And so he didn't get a lot of ice time in those moments. And it paid off, because the Canadiens' big guns, you know, your Toffolis, those guys, your Nick Suzuki's, the guys that you're used to taking charge of the game did. And they tied the game, and they went into overtime. And surprisingly, Dominique Ducharme, this is not something that he's known to do. He got creative in the overtime, threw Cole Caulfield out there, and this beautiful pass from Jeff Petrie, he took advantage of it, and it was an amazing goal. And there was this moment where he started celebrating, and then you see him like turn his back to the board so everybody can see his face. And there's this moment that you can see where it's like, did this really happen? Yeah, it really happened. And his face just lights up. And it's just like this beautiful moment that I really think that it would have been nice to have fans in the arena. And that's kind of sad that they weren't there. But it's also like maybe a good thing, because I don't know if the roof would have still been there at the end of all of that. And that's just my gushing on Cole Caulfield. Didn't even let you get in a single word. I'm so sorry, Sarah.
I mean, I feel like you hit all of the highlights of his debut and his time in the NHL so far. And I feel like there's probably a lot more exciting games we're going to see from him, especially as the games just get bigger and bigger leading up to the end of the season. I know one thing that had a lot of people concerned about Cole Caulfield is that he's a smaller guy. He's on the smaller side for NHL players, to the point where whenever I started Googling him to kind of pull up, you know, what he's been up to lately, the like second Google suggested search was like Cole Caulfield height. So for people who are concerned about that, you know, should they stop worrying about the fact that he is a little smaller than your traditional NHL player?
I think so. And I think that it is a legitimate worry based on, you know, traditional hockey mentality. I understand that. And he's not just small, he's really small. So his height is 5'10" on one of the websites. And I was just like, there's literally no way this guy is 5'10", right? But then you look at his like Wisconsin stats and it's like he's 5'7". And I'm like, there's no way this kid is 5'7". He's tiny. He's so small. Anyway, my theory is that he's like 5'2" max. And I would know, I'm a short person, right? But here's the thing. It's true that, you know, it is a bit of a concern if there's a bigger player after him that's going to like check him or whatever, but he's so fast and he's had to adapt to this all his life. He's played against much taller, larger guys all his life, and he was still able to like hone in on his own skill and his speed and be able to take advantage of his own talent. And we saw him, like, he wasn't quite able to split the Toronto defense in a game against Toronto, but that's going to come with time. I think one of the things that we've all noticed about Cole Caulfield is that he's the kind of player that observes and learns what he needs to do to get better and then works on that. It's not natural like it is with Nick Suzuki. Like, Nick Suzuki is just born with this amazing hockey sense and this beautiful way of seeing the play. Cole Caulfield doesn't have that. He's made up for it by working. And so eventually he's going to figure it all out. Like, it's not just the fact that he's fast. It's not just that he's skilled. It's that he's a thinker. He's a guy who studies. He's very much like a Sidney Crosby attitude in that, like, you know, if you said one year that Sidney Crosby wasn't good at faceoffs, he would spend the entire offseason working on faceoffs. That's very much the way Cole Caulfield approaches the game as well. It's that he knows there's things that he's not good at and that he needs to get better at. So he's going to go work on them. And so I'm not super worried about size, but I also understand why people think so, because he is a small player and he would be an easy target if he wasn't so fast.
Well, I feel like he is going to be just a delight to watch, especially as he gets more and more comfortable in the NHL. I will close with one question about the general state of the Canadiens. Right now, it looks like if things don't change, the first round playoffs for the Canadiens looks like it could be against Toronto. Are you or are you not looking forward to whatever that's going to be?
Well, we actually are talking about that, as well as obviously Cole Caulfield in our episode today. Scott asked, would you rather leapfrog the Jets and play Edmonton in the first round? And my answer is yes, absolutely, because they've proven themselves able to contain Edmonton and they have not been able to do that against Toronto. But at the same time, the last two games that they played, the last wins that they had, they were forced to think outside of the box because they had so many players sidelined by injury. There's, I think, 40 million of their cap is injured right now. And so they were forced to think outside the box. They were forced to play differently. So even if those players come back, if they're able to do that outside the box thinking, new ideas, changing on the fly, like really approaching the game differently and not relying on the same things and hoping they go better, I truly think that they can beat anyone in this division. So I'm not super worried about meeting Toronto. I'm more worried about whether the coaching staff will prove to be adaptable in those moments. And so it's kind of like I'm hopeful, and it would be really, really, really nice if it was the Canadiens that eliminated the Toronto Maple Leafs from the playoffs. It's a long shot. It's still something that would be really fun.
Well, thank you for breaking down all the latest news about Cole Caulfield and also about the current standings position of the Canadiens. For people who want to hear more from you and more all about the Small Goals Boy, where can they find you and your show online?
So you can find our podcast wherever you get your podcast. Just look for Locked On Canadiens. On Twitter, we're at @LO_Canadiens. You can find my co-host, Scott, at Scott Matla. You can find me at The Actist.
That is it for today. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to all of my guests for joining me on the show. Make sure you're following them on social media and subscribing to their podcasts. This podcast can be found on Twitter at LockedOnNHLPods. Go give it a listen. Go and make sure you're subscribed to the show. And then when you're done doing that, when you're done checking in your favorite podcast app of choice, go check out the Locked On Today podcast. You can get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. You can get updates from host Peter Bukowski talking about the latest news in every major sport with the help of all of our local experts. You can follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So anywhere you find this show, you can also find Locked On Today. That is it for us here today. Make sure you come back tomorrow and every day this week for more NHL news as we get closer and closer to the playoffs. Until next time, this has been Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.